Wake up! Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
We could do this every week. We should get a sponsor. The Power Rankings of Putrid.
Presented by no one.
Who was worse? All fingers should be pointing at the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
That was a short honeymoon.
Yeah, this was an interesting thought process on Shane Waldron's part.
You can start the offensive coordinator. I have no problem if that's the way you want to start it. Apparently, the general manager, he had this beauty. He said that the O-line communication technique and fundamentals have led to a rough performance rather than bad talent.
Whoa, I did not see that.
That moves him way the hell up in my estimation.
Yes, thank you.
Okay? So I might even move him atop the list after reading that yesterday. I'll put everybody on the list. I'll put them all on the list. Hey, what's going on with the building downtown? Get on the list.
And one of the things I always look at coming home to the city is I always look for cranes in the air.
Everybody, there's a spot for all of you.
Kevin Warren's on the list?
I just put him on there.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
If that doesn't make your teeth chatter, I don't know what will. Wow.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. As I was driving down this morning and my teeth were clattering as the fact that there's no road on the road, and then I got here and couldn't even figure out how to take a left turn because there's no road where there used to be a road. I was wondering, underneath the building, if there were cranes in the sky. How are the cranes doing?
Happy Tuesday. So you had a hard time with your commute because of the road construction?
No. I had a great time. My teeth were chattering.
A lot of activity at this time of day.
Everything was shaking.
At this time of morning, yeah.
A lot of blown out tires on LSD. I don't know if you're following.
There's a lot of reconstruction in the city. Kevin Warren would be happy about that.
Well, I mean, the internal workings of this joint, right? Where we are in the Prudential Building, mm-hmm. and it is beautiful.
Give yourself a couple extra minutes if you're coming.
A couple extra minutes?
You don't know quite what path you're going to have to take into the parking garage on any given day.
There's no way to get out. That's part of the problem.
Getting in is fine. It's like Hotel California.
Yeah,
you can check in, but you can never leave.
Never check out.
Never leave. Yeah, so I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you made it.
We've got
a lot to talk about. It was a big night in the NFL. It was a big day at Hallis Hall. There's a lot looking forward to. The Rams are coming to town. Sean McVay's talking about Caleb Williams. There's a lot going on. And, oh, by the way, the White Sox make history tonight in all likelihood.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about
that. I know, but we're going to get to that at some point.
No, we don't have to.
It's a big day, September 24th.
No need to bring that up.
Remember that day forever. It'll be indelibly etched into your memory.
No reason to even mention it. The only people that want to talk about it are guys like Dustin that are grinning from ear to ear.
No.
Yeah, that's it.
It's the right way. We've got to figure out how to put it into context.
Yeah, I think by putting our heads in the ground and ignoring it.
Well, last night was football night.
By referring to them as Jerry Reinsdorf's Sox, not even the White Sox.
Why did they have two Monday night games at this stage of the season? And did you have a hard time picking one?
I was mad about that because
I figured you would be.
I was. I'm not equipped to deal with two Monday night games.
I was actually a little worried about you. Like, okay, I was wondering how you were watching both, if you were bothering to watch both.
I tried to watch some of the Cubs game, and then I saw, Kyle Schwarber's been
after Schwarber homered, I was out.
And then I turned on the game, and it was already over. I mean, the game was over so quickly.
Jacksonville has a problem.
Jacksonville has a lot of problems, not the least of which, apparently, the quarterback has no confidence left.
Well, apparently, the coach doesn't either.
And the coach is going through his own crisis.
We talk about
quarterback confidence.
Post-game admissions. We talk about post-game, how they coaches comport themselves. We mentioned yesterday Antonio Pierce versus Matt Eberflus. Doug Peterson basically conceded last night that he's not capable of finding what he needs to find to have the confidence to move on.
It was really strange to have the question asked if the quarterback has lost all confidence and have the coach say, aren't we all kind of going through, he was like, who isn't losing confidence, whatever he said.
That's not what you want to hear.
What?
Wrong answer. Yeah. So the Bills look like a team off to as good of a start as any team in the NFL. They're 3-0. DeMar Hamlin getting an interception was,
yeah, that was
really a special moment.
On a Monday night.
If you happen to be watching that game. But if you were watching that game, you were watching the one that everyone will be talking about in every NFL city this morning.
Yes.
And that's the Washington Commanders taking care of the Cincinnati Bengals and Jaden Daniels breaking it out.
And where was that game?
That was not in Cincinnati. That was...
No, I'm saying where was it on television?
Oh, that was on ABC, I believe.
So you had the one game on ESPN and the other game on ABC. And you had no Manning cast because they couldn't figure out which one to watch. Is that it?
I think maybe because Bill Belichick was busy. I don't know. Maybe that's why they didn't have a Manning cast.
Okay.
He have to be on?
I just was disappointed there wasn't a Manning cast.
Hey, it's been at least a day and a half since Bill Belichick's been on television. So I think we have a problem
here. He was on the radio yesterday.
Was he? Okay.
Yes, he was on the – well, he was on a couple of different stops. Not the least of which, he's replaced Tom Brady on the Let's Go show.
Well, that's
so.
Now I can sleep.
Now so, you know that.
Wherever you found the game,
yes,
and even if you didn't, you'll see it all over social media.
Oh yeah,
Jaden Daniels
is the man.
Is the man of the league this morning,
yes,
because of his breakout performance and because of the way that he has played in the first three games. He is the it quarterback in the NFL right now.
He is the he's the C.J. Stroud.
Yes.
To the Caleb Williams, Bryce Young.
Well, we're going to continue to talk about this, but because...
What?
Because he is the C.J. Stroud, or that comparison is apt because he was a number two overall pick,
right,
doesn't mean that Caleb Williams is playing the role of Bryce Young.
Well, it means the NFL may have drafted the wrong quarterback first 2 years running.
You can contend that, you can think that, and you can argue that. I'm not going to be arguing that or thinking that or contending that today.
I didn't expect you to. I'm just saying that would be the public reaction.
It might be, sure. It might be the public overreaction.
Yes.
Yeah. He is
because
special.
I don't even think the Bears talked to him.
I don't think so either.
They kind of zeroed in on one guy.
Jaden Daniels showed a lot of things last night that you're going to get used to seeing if he continues this progression. But he can run. He's a natural, gifted runner, and he's elusive like Lamar Jackson. And last night you saw the accuracy that has been consistent. He's completing over 80% of his passes through three games. The big play for me, like a lot of people watching, third down, it was third and short, I believe. The one that Terry McLaurin caught in the corner of the end zone. The last touchdown pass of the night. What a throw. What a throw.
Yes.
On the money.
He's a good player.
Who's his offensive coordinator?
I believe it's Cliff Kingsbury. I think it's the man from Architectural Digest.
I bet you he lives in a nice place out in D.C. He's got a beautiful home, I bet.
I don't know how nice the places are out in D.C.
Oh, come on.
Oh, I mean, he's not like in a Georgetown bungalow, I mean, or some sort of a townhouse. I believe he would be in the Virginia countryside.
Perhaps.
Why couldn't I say that without you getting upset?
I thought that you were disparaging Washington, D.C. as a place to live.
No. I was merely stating that I think, having seen him in the desert, that he may prefer something more visually stimulating in his glass-filled home.
I can't wait for the next issue of Architectural Digest DC edition to see where he's living. Wherever he's living, he's doing a lot of good work at the office, because that is how you structure an offense around.
I don't think he's in Maryland.
A skill set of your quarterback that takes advantage of it. I don't think he's in Maryland either.
It's probably Virginia.
Well, DC, District of Columbia. It's not exactly anywhere. But it's not in Maryland. It's not in Virginia. It's kind of in between all of it.
I'm thinking of where the football operation is run. And okay. I'm guessing that he's commuting from someplace not within the city limits.
Don't you think he's got like a limo driver at his beck and call?
He's not driving himself.
He's not
I
driving
like
himself.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you know,
that.
Mr.
Like
Kingsbury,
that.
Thank you. That's so. He's a smart football guy, and what we saw last night, and one of my bigger takeaways, and we'll continue to talk about this, is that the way that the Commanders, we'll talk about whether they got the right quarterback and did the, you know, all of this stuff. The C.J. Stroud comparison is an obvious one, but the Commanders got the right offensive coordinator.
Ooh, so you're choosing to say that they hired the wrong coordinator, they didn't draft the wrong quarterback. Is that what I'm hearing?
I'm saying that three games in, the only reaction that I'm having, the biggest reaction that I'm having is, yeah, Jaden Daniels is special, but their understanding how to get that out of him quicker and better than the Bears have figured that out with Caleb Williams. And there are a lot of other things that are apples to oranges and not really apt comparisons. But I do think that good for Cliff Kingsbury, good for Dan Quinn. This is a franchise that maybe had turned a corner last night. It feels like they did. And they did so because they're making the best use of his talents and they know how to get the most out of their quarterback.
Jaden Daniels set an NFL rookie record for the highest completion percentage, wait for it, ever in a game by a rookie. Ever.
Well,
it's a pretty good game.
Are you sure that they checked C.J. Stroud's stats? Because I thought he set every record imaginable last year.
Well,
no,
I don't know.
Well, that's impressive. You know what, though?
It was something. It was pretty special. And he said everything correctly afterward. He thanked everyone the right way. He shared all of the glory.
Well, the way they're talking about what they're talking about in Washington is that the narrative out there is that the Commanders as a franchise took a major step last night. Mm-hmm. Monday Night Football, national audience, Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow on the other side, considered a Super Bowl contender despite their 0-3 start. But a lot of people picked the Bengals to do some big things this year. And I think that last night...
They're 0-3.
They're 0-3, yeah. And the Commanders do what they did to them as easily as it looked. That game didn't include a punt or a turnover. That was great football to watch, really.
I think it'd be fun. We'll talk to Big Z at 7. But I think what you're saying is the Bears got the worst coordinator. That's the one thing you're willing to say. Is that
Well, okay, I'll put it in my terms. I don't know that I would put it that way. Because I don't know if I'm all out on Shane Waldron after three games. I don't want to go there, even though a lot of people have. I want to say that it appears to me the only thing we can conclude after three games is that the Commanders got it right and the Bears still don't know. And I think
are you talking about the player?
I'm talking about the play caller.
Okay.
The coordinator.
All right.
Now, as far as the player goes, if you want me to weigh in there right now.
Oh, I wouldn't dare. I think you've already weighed in. I think
it's too early for me.
Yeah.
Are you in on Jaden Daniels over? Jaden Daniels greater than Caleb Williams. Would you tweet that?
Three games
Would you
in.
Say that?
Well,
three games in.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm not one of these, like, we'll wait and see guys. I'm not a wait and see guy. I'm looking at what's happened right now.
You kind of are. I mean, you should be.
I know.
You should be a wait and see guy.
I'm just not allowing a wait and see answer. I don't think a wait and see
answer. It's 5:43. We got plenty of time, man. I mean, it's 5:43 on September 24th.
But you would have to admit that was the best game you've seen from a rookie quarterback ever.
Well,
highest completion percentage. Ever.
I hadn't really started to categorize it in my memory bank as far as the best rookie performances by a quarterback. In Chicago, that's not really hard to do. There's not a lot of frame of reference.
Let's put it this way. If you got a phone call, if you're running Washington this morning and you get a phone call,
yeah,
and it's, hey, this guy's not working out for us, we want to make a deal, would you take Trevor Lawrence straight up for Jaden Daniels?
No. No.
See, I went a different way there.
You did go a different way.
I just wanted the kind
of. Yeah, I wonder where you're going there.
I wanted to drive in through a curvy little
Trevor
estate.
Lawrence has now set a record. He is the Chris Flexen of the NFL right now. They have not won one of his starts in the last eight, I believe.
Eight.
That's quite a problem.
Yeah.
When you are the franchise quarterback, who, by the way, signed an extension over the summer guaranteeing him hundreds of millions of dollars probably won't be around to earn for the Jacksonville Jaguars. If you're Shad Khan and that owner, what are you thinking right now? Get me to London pronto?
Well, I mean, he's got a lot of money, and he owns a football team, and he owns much of London. Does he own the National Stadium there? I mean, the guy has got some...
You tell me, you're the London football expert.
Here you go again. I just so you know, in England, they speak what's called English, okay? We got to go football again.
Just to distinguish it between soccer and football.
Do you think any of the three guys we talked to last Friday could speak a word of another language?
How did that go, by the way? How did that big party in Lincoln Park go?
Oh, that party went great. You know who turned up? Your guy, the mayor, got a T-shirt. got a, like a nice printed shirt.
Brandon Johnson, Mayor Brandon Johnson?
He was there.
How's he my guy?
He was your guy. And Benny the Bull was there. And
that's
Benny,
not my guy.
Benny came out, and Benny offered some popcorn.
Yeah, you know Benny's going to show up at a party.
Next thing you know, everybody's wearing popcorn.
Was Benny overserved?
Benny is awesome.
Benny's all right.
You got to love Benny.
A lot of bad blood there.
Yeah.
A lot of bad blood.
David tried to write one back. Night. Next thing you know, he's covered in popcorn.
It's all forgiven.
It's everyone.
Anyway, so the Trevor Lawrence connection to this is that he's been very bad, and there's...
Yes, and he played last night.
And he played last night, and Josh Allen played against him and had four touchdown passes in the first half.
Oh, my God. They were fantastic, but they never put together the best rookie season ever. The best game ever.
Game. Ever. Not season yet.
Completions in a game. Ever. That's pretty good. It's pretty good. It underscores. I mean, listen, am I mistaken? Did Caleb Williams not just throw for 363 yards?
Caleb Williams completed 33 passes and 363 yards of passing over the weekend. And we come in here on Tuesday morning wondering if the Bears got it wrong. I love Chicago.
Is it wrong
I love
to have
Chicago.
That? Is it wrong to mention it?
I mean, the long-awaited quarterback that looks the part and has having rookie moments, but the idea that the Bears got it wrong at that position after a 363-yard effort is just so on brand. It's just so on brand.
Why didn't they talk to him?
Why didn't they talk to who?
Jaden Daniels.
I think because...
They wouldn't even give him an interview.
Let me tell you.
The guy was begging to tell him.
Begging to tell him what?
The guy that picked him.
Okay. Look, I understand. That is a valid question. And if you want to criticize it, it's open season.
I'm
not saying you necessarily. You like I'm pointing a finger at you. I'm not trying to trigger you.
You feel like
you in the general sense.
Yeah.
You can ask those questions this morning, and they would all be valid, and they all be appropriate, and certainly timely because Jaden Daniels is the guy.
You in a general sense would never ask those questions.
No,
but we in a general sense are wondering.
Okay, then let me ask. I'm telling you about what I think. I don't want to think about the we or the you, whatever. I think that.
Tell me what I think. It's a fair question, but
it's way too early to conclude anything about either guy, even though I think Jaden Daniels is going to be special. I think Caleb Williams is going to be special. And I think we're going to be treated to two guys whose careers we can compare and contrast for a very long time. I don't know if this is going to be Burrow Mahomes or Brady Manning. I don't know if it's going to be anything
great. Stroud Young.
Let's hope it's not Stroud Young. But I think it's fair to wonder that. We're going to look at it. But I think both guys can be real talented, Pro Bowl caliber quarterbacks in the league for a very long time.
Texter says Jaden Daniels, given his injury history, would be hospitalized right now if he were behind the Bears offensive line.
It's a fair point. It's a fair point about the offensive line comparison. Yeah. I don't know about his being hospitalized. That's extreme. But he's also very wiry. Would you worry about him running as often as he likes to run? There was a time last night just watching that game where he was taking off down the field after he was on a little bit of a roll. I was like, no, stop. Don't do that.
Yep.
Because he's shifty. And boy, when he runs, he's dangerous.
When you got the birds, you got to let them fly. When you got the horses, you got to let them run. Right?
Yes.
Is that it? Is that the answer?
Is that a song lyric? Is that a poem? British literature? I don't know, but I think it's very...
None of the above.
It's apt. It is apt. So I think that, if you're feeling very good about projecting success for Jaden Daniels at the draft, you're looking pretty good this morning. I don't know that it was something that I immediately thought, boy, the Bears got it wrong. I was more pleased with, number one, this is a player that's going to be so much fun to watch. The Commanders have a good time. Dan Quinn, I love the way he coaches. And my head went here. Didn't he get passed over by Matt Eberflus when Matt Eberflus was hired as the head coach of the Bears?
Yeah.
Wasn't Dan Quinn the other finalist?
He was I don't remember. I blocked out a lot of that stuff.
I think I need to go back and check that.
I can't wait to talk to Biggsy. We'll talk to Biggsy at 7 because I seem to remember that they interviewed like 15 people. Now they didn't. Did they do an informational interview
with the head coach? I think Dan Quinn was a finalist.
I'm talking about the offense coordinator.
Oh, okay.
I'm still on the Bears offense.
Kingsbury. They mined him for information on Caleb Williams.
But
I don't know if they interviewed him.
Yes. Yeah. We'll have to get to the bottom of that.
But both those guys are now in Washington. They got the quarterback that fits their franchise, and it seems that things are turning around in D.C. They're 2-1 after 3 weeks, very early in the season.
I wonder if Biggs watched that game. He might.
You think if he didn't watch that game, he taped that game, and he's probably going to be watching it all day getting out the Hogs poster on his bedroom wall.
I meant that as a joke.
And a cigar.
He yelled at the TV.
He did. Run it up!
Yeah, that's what he was yelling.
Don't stop now, boys.
Run it up. Oh, man, that's so funny.
How about the tackle eligible first touchdown pass of Jaden Daniels' career? That was really cool.
Yeah.
They're having fun.
They're having a good time. But, Cliff Kingsbury,
creative guy.
Kubiak. Those are all creative guys. Born to it. Shane Waldron, I don't know. He's creative. I don't know if that's appropriate.
He's not off to a good start. There's no question about that. There's no way around it. He is not off to a good start. And he has a weapon in Caleb Williams that he needs to get more out of or find ways to get more out of the offense. Caleb Williams, I would hesitate to say he needs to get more out of him. Maybe I take that back. Don't ask as much of him as they seem to be asking right now.
It's fun stuff. I'm just curious if, and I don't know how you feel about it, but since we're just talking about different quarterbacks, I believe Justin Fields is 3-0 with
him. Yes, he is. He definitely is. This is one of the reasons I love the city and talking sports here, because it would just figure that Caleb Williams is coming off a loss. And three games where he hasn't lived up to expectations that were enormous, and we're responsible for many of those. And Jaden Daniels looks like he turned the Washington franchise around in three games, and Justin Fields looks like he's the quarterback of the present and the future in Pittsburgh, and we're still waiting for evidence of growth and progress for the Bears offense in Chicago. All good topics.
Yeah.
That's why it's going to be a good day.
It's important.
It's going to be a lot of fun today.
It's important to beat the Rams. That's why it's important to win. Time to get back to some wins.
It's time to regain some confidence and momentum.
Yeah.
This is a team that lost a lot of credibility Sunday in Indianapolis.
And you don't want to turn them into, say, Trevor Lawrence.
You don't want to turn them into Trevor Lawrence.
Just to keep the QB theme going.
You'd rather them resemble the Bills and Josh Allen. Four touchdown passes in the first half against the Rams. You would take that from Caleb Williams, right?
I would think so.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. We got a lot to get to. We got an entire citywide issues to tear apart and talk about, and teams here and teams nationally, and we'll get into all of it. We got the pick six next. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
A pick six!
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Pick Six, sponsored by Affinity Whole Health. Do what I do. Visit feelgreatillinois.com. Learn more about their testosterone therapy or their weight loss options. How about the Bears coach Matt Eberflus seemingly to begrudgingly admit that the play call on 4th-and-1 from the goal line might have been better? Well, almost admitting it. Almost. Eberflus, who said the Bears liked the play on Sunday after the game, admitted he'd have preferred not having to get to 4th down. And when asked if the speed of the Colts defense was a factor, listen to this.
We ran it direct, three times in a row, and then we had an option to do either one on the 4th one. So, I as the head coach would like him to do it in those three plays. That might have to make that decision on fourth down. But I do believe that you do have to take it in account for speed. But again, if the look was right, that was going to be a good play for sure.
All right. How do you respond to what Matt Eberflus had to say there?
Listen, someone sit him down, show him the play again. It doesn't matter what theoretically the play was supposed to look like. If the look had been this, it was a terrible play and you got steamrolled and you had a defensive tackle in the backfield right as you started the play and the quarterback had no choice but to flip it out. And guess what? You got buried. You had two guys on the outside. They sniffed that out and they destroyed you and you lost 12 yards. Stop saying you like the play. If and buts and candy and nuts, that's a terrible play. It's a terrible play. Run the damn ball straight up the middle. Do it four times. And if you end up on the inch line, you end up on the inch line. They're better than you. But that was awful. That was god-awful. Just admit it, and let's move on. God, I couldn't believe that answer.
Yeah, it was an answer that you would rather not have heard from your head football coach. And as a defensive guy, something I want to get to in a minute, but Darnell Wright absolutely whiffed turnstile, as Biggs would like to say, on that third down play. If he even makes contact with his defender, I don't know. I mean, I don't even know how he did that. If he just touches the guy, they score there. Here's the other thing. If you do like that play so much, why not run that on second or third down, right? Because everybody's expecting you to run it straight ahead. That's what teams do. That's what you should do. You should run it straight ahead. But if you're going to get cute, why not get cute on second or third down? And I will say, with this defense, why not take the 3 points? It's 7-0. Take the 3 points. You're better than them. You think you're better than them. Your defense has been playing great. Take the 3 points. Go into halftime down 7-3.
I think they did the right thing in going for it on fourth down. You need to score a touchdown in that situation, given the circumstances. On first down, they did get cute. They got too cute, and that should have been the lesson they learned. And then you run it right up the middle, and you get in the I formation, or you get into behind center, and you get a yard, and you give your offensive line credit and respect by saying that they can get the yard. If they don't, that's on them, but you trust them to get the yard. What they did, the Bears are trying to play chess, and all you need to do is play checkers. They're overcomplicating things. They got another quarterback, they got another offensive coordinator, trying to get too cute in that situation. Just run the ball. And if you didn't make it, just own it. This kind of conversation that Matt Eberflus is continuing is just, this has been disappointing in the way that he's handled this portion of what happened Sunday. The post-game rationalization about being encouraged, the day after overreaction day, and he can't even acknowledge that this was a bad decision. Just own it. People will respect you more, and you'll learn from the mistake. Because you know what? It was a mistake. It was a bad call. It was a terrible sequence, and you deserved what happened to you. You don't run an option play to the short side that you only – it worked in practice. Who practices anymore at a speed that it matters? Come on now.
If it was
I'm not talking
right
necessarily
look,
about a pick six or something like that.
That's the voice of Brad Biggs. 7 o'clock is Biggs time. Do you think the Bears will stick with Matt Pryor, who started in place of Nate Davis at right guard and played 79 snaps on Sunday, or will they go back to Nate Davis? Was the decision by Eberflus that proved he could be tough with players, or was this injury related?
I don't really know, because I don't think it's been made clear. Do we know that? Have I missed that? Is it something that they have talked around? Because, again, if I were the coach of this team and I benched somebody because of poor play, I would let that be known to everybody, including my locker room, who may already know, but my fan base. And that would be something I would not necessarily be proud of, but I would want it known, because you have to set a standard. And you don't want to see the standards sliding. And if this is in fact something that is an ode to accountability, then you need to own that as well, because good for you. If you benched a veteran who's your highest paid offensive lineman, I think that's significant. And if he did it because not the injury that kept him out of practice at times last week, because he has not been interested or engaged, therefore he has not been good, then make that known. Embrace that idea, because that says that you have a standard that needs to be met. And if it isn't, there will be consequences. There should be consequences. There should be consequences to everything bad that happened on Sunday. And the consequence of calling a speed option on 4th and 1 should be taking that page out of the playbook and burning it in a ceremony.
So being present and being prepared, two things that I think Matt Pryor has been doing versus what Nate Davis has been doing is a big thing, right? So I think that's part of it. I think they were sick and tired, the Bears, of every day that this soft tissue injury was limiting their practice time. Now, here's what you don't know. Can the Bears' offensive line and the run game coordinator and Matt Eberflus' best buddy in the whole wide world teach Matt Pryor how to go second level? Now, that's the difference. Tackles really don't go second level all that often. And there were a couple of pieces of tape that I saw out there on social media where Matt Pryor absolutely whiffs when he goes out to he gets to the second level, but he doesn't know the idea of just hit somebody who has a different jersey on than you. That when you don't know what to do, hit a guy with the other jersey. Don't miss both guys with the other jersey. So I hope they were punishing Nate Davis. But if Matt Pryor can't figure out how to go next level, unfortunately, you got to have Nate Davis back in there this week.
Yeah, I'm going to lean on the injury. I'm going to say that Nate Davis is having an a groin injury. Limit him. He did come into the game when they were stuck, but it was just for a play. And that makes you wonder how seriously injured he is. But, you know, you can't practice because you have a groin injury. It's hard to then play on Sunday. So they had to replace him all week, and then they decided to give that a whirl. This isn't working. Whatever's going on with Nate Davis, and if it's tough love, if it's whatever it is, it's not working. If they're trying to motivate him, it's not working. If he has an injury, that means it's not working. Whatever's gone on with Nate Davis, it really hasn't worked. He hasn't been able to practice much in the offseason. He doesn't seem to be ready for the season to begin. And now he's carrying an injury. And whether it's a soft tissue injury and they're mad about it, or whether it really is debilitating, doesn't really matter, because it's not working. So at this point, that's just the situation you're in with the guy. If you can get him up and running and practicing, maybe he can move back into the lineup. But I think they seem to want him to practice before they play him. So feel free to not play him.
Oh, boy. Good question.
That's the voice of Coach Wanstead. He's here for two big segments beginning at 7:44 with Mully and Haw. Matt Eberflus seemed to reluctantly criticize Caleb Williams for an interception on a throw into double coverage intended for Rome Odunze. He called it an aggressive throw and said the safe throw would have been going into the flat.
You never want to take away his aggressiveness, but he has to be really good with the football. And that's his number one job as a quarterback.
Is four picks the last two games too much?
Yes, four picks is too much in two games. Two picks a game is not going to play with the Bears and with the deficits that they have. And you know, two picks and a fumble is not good. I don't know what to tell you. You got to get a grip on that. I think it's really interesting that the quarterback says that his number one job as a quarterback is to protect the football. Because that's not the way they're playing. And that's not, you know, you don't have a guy pass, what was it, 56 pass attempts, right? With the sacks?
56 pass plays that were called, four sacks, 52 attempts.
So you don't really want to throw the ball 56 times if you're worried about giving the ball away. Yeah. I'm being honest about it.
Oh, my gosh. I know.
I'm saying.
Understatement of the day.
There are a lot of seemingly contrary things going on. And I'm not sure exactly. I don't know how Matt Eberflus talks to the player. I hope it's a lot more forthright and it's not as reluctant as this was. But, yeah, we can't have that. Would have been a sufficient answer.
Well, this starts opening the door on what you guys talked about in the first segment of the show with Jaden Daniels. He sets a record for complete. And, again, he took what the defense gave him. We also heard Eberflus yesterday in that meeting, the Zoom meeting, talking about, like, as soon as one thing's not open, the quarterback needs to go to the, like, third thing. He almost said, like, skip your second read. That's what I took away from it. I don't know what you guys did, but, like, he's got to know what the third option is, and that should be open. Now, you don't want to take the aggressiveness out. We talk about, you know, there's got to be a few plays where you're taking the shot downfield. His long ball. But here's the other. And again, is he afraid or he doesn't want? He doesn't run the ball. Run the ball. Take the easy stuff. You saw that last night. Both Joe Burrow and Jaden Daniels took easy when they're not there. Josh Allen, but Josh Allen's kind of a run quarterback. But those two guys who are not, they, when there was nothing open, they ran and slid and got 5 or 6 easy yards. He's not even doing that. And that's what drives me crazy.
It's okay for Matt Eberflus to criticize or to critique Caleb Williams in a way that maybe isn't all effusive praise. That's got to be the relationship they have. That's got to be the dialogue and the way that we get used to hearing him talk about Caleb Williams. It shouldn't stand out when he says something that is maybe veiled criticism, because you never want to take away his aggressiveness. He has to be really good with the football. Yes, he does. 3 turnovers on Sunday. That's the reason you lost that game. Is because, now, it wasn't his fault necessarily, but if any quarterback not named Caleb Williams in the past whatever, however many years you want to attach it, and had a fourth quarter turnover, we would be saying the quarterback can't have a fourth quarter turnover. And for 2 weeks in a row now, Caleb Williams has been too careless with the football. He has a lot of things that get you excited. There are a lot of things that you're going to be happy about the reason he's here. But he has to do what he did well in the opener, despite him not throwing for many yards in the opener. He did protect the football. First, do no harm. Every quarterback has the same football Hippocratic oath. You can't get your team beat. Anthony Richardson nearly tried hard to get the Colts beat. The Bears wouldn't let him. They know how to lose. But if you're Caleb Williams, yes, your biggest takeaway isn't 33 completions.
They've won one game.
363 yards.
No turnovers in that game.
And they didn't have any turnovers. So your takeaway from Sunday, if you're Caleb Williams, is there were too many takeaways that you were responsible for. Clean it up. And that's what Matt Eberflus essentially was saying. If it means, you know, kind of checking down to clean it up, check down to clean it up. You can still hit big on the home run. You can still think aggressively, but you got to be smart. And he wasn't being smart.
Different question on a different topic.
Mike Florio's voice there. You'll hear more from Mike at 8:44. How interested are you in whether the White Sox break that MLB record at home tonight for the most losses in a season? It would be their 121st. On the 2024 Chicago sports calendar, how newsworthy of a night is that really?
Well, I think that there's two different questions here, maybe. That one, how interested are you in it? Maybe not at all. If you're tired of the White Sox losing, it's a redundant, tired theme. We talk about it all the time and try to ignore it as best we can. It is a sports talk radio show, though. It's hard to ignore. I wish we could. We can't. And tonight, you'll see the White Sox game get attention from national news services, from national reporters. This is a national story because the national pastime has a new low water mark, the 2024 White Sox, the 121st loss. This is history in the making. Maybe it happens tonight with Jonathan Cannon on the mound. Maybe it doesn't. But you have to watch, and people will have to show up. There will be people attending this game, covering this game, that don't typically cover games for a baseball team in September, late September. But this is newsworthy. It is unfortunately significant. And the White Sox, I don't know, should you lean into it and sell tickets for $1.21? Or sell concession stand items for $1.21. 121 cents will get you whatever. I don't know if they do that. I doubt that they will. But it will be one of those nights that I think that it's inevitable. I think maybe it happens tonight. You circled September 24th on your calendar, and you'll never forget this night at Guaranteed Rate Field.
Well, Hawk would always... History, right? History could be made in the wrong fashion. I'm curious also is how... who's are people going to go to the game, Dave? You know, and I think it's like a. It's
I think
a hot
you
dog.
Should go, Dustin.
We talked about Thursday. It's a day game, and crochet throws. So if there's somehow that they can make this go until then, that would be pretty fun. A day game with crochet. See if crochet gets kind of fired up for the game and not want to be on the mound when that goes down. It unfortunately, it's going to happen, and we'll see how people react to it.
Yeah, it's already happened in my mind. It's this is not any kind of breaking news. This is just the day it happens. I think the season will go down in history. I don't think any single day, any one loss will go down as, oh, do you remember that day? Oh, I'll never forget that day. And so, no, don't really care. Don't really, I won't be. I mean, I'll be aware when it happens. I'm not planning on watching it. I don't want to pay for the campfire shake. I'm not going out there. You know, there's no joy in Mudville. So you won't, I mean, we are, I suppose, required to talk about it. Jerry Reinsdorf's team, Jerry Reinsdorf's mission, his goal achieved. We should hear from him. Wasn't he going to talk? Didn't he threaten that he would talk at
the end of the season? Yeah, not tonight though.
Oh no, we should get him out there. He should be He should be. Maybe have him throw out the first pitch.
That'd be something.
As a leader, I think you shy away from those questions.
Word is the Cubs plan on adding a free agent starter via free agency in this offseason. But if you could gift them one other player, what position would you choose? Do they need a power bat, more slug, a closer, a late inning reliever? What is the team's greatest need?
I think I'd give them a bullpen relief. And I don't know if that's a closer or not. I don't know that they want to spend on a closer per se, but I think that's what they need. I think when you look at the number of blown saves, and let's be honest about it, they weren't all in the ninth inning. But I think that if they could trim that in half, and I don't know, you know, is Hodge the guy? I mean, do you feel like they are prepared to have enough of a group that they can handle that aspect of it next year? I don't know that you need to sign this year's Hector Neris, but they need help in that area. And if I could gift them something, it would be help in that area. And I don't think they want to spend $20 million on that kind of a player, but I think that they need help in that area more so than anything else. I mean, you'd love to see more slug. You'd love to see them get another power bat. We talked about that. They don't seem like it seems like they've got a lot of players coming up, but not like anybody. It's not like they've got like a six war player even in their whole group. And so that means everybody needs to be good for you to be successful. You'd love for them to have that kind of player, but I don't think they're going to be able to go out there. There's only like 13 of them in the league or something. Is that what the number was? So I think it's harder to get. But I would say if I could give them anything, it would be a reliable arm in the bullpen that would lessen whatever their needs are and hopefully aid them in getting more saves.
Yeah, I believe it's 27 one-run losses. So I think if you had that guy, if you cut that in half, the Cubs are in the postseason, right? They're in the postseason. We're talking Cubs baseball equal to Bears today if they had a guy in the back of that bullpen. Now, they need us. Everybody needs a slugger. But, Mully, to your point, you can get that back end of the bullpen guy for a much cheaper cost than that slugger.
Maybe, but not to go full bigs on you here, but I don't know that there's anything at the closer store worth shopping for. I don't know who's on the market that you say, oh, yeah, this is the guy that's going to solve all the problems. Josh Hader isn't walking through that door.
How about the kid on the A's?
Mason Miller's not a free agent.
Well, but the Cubs have a lot of stuff, right?
Well, if you want to trade for a guy like Mason Miller, yeah, go out and get Mason Miller and then get everybody used to seeing 104-mile-per-hour fastballs at Wrigley Field. That's great. But I think when you look at via free agency as a question sort of addressed, there's not a free agent out there that says, okay, automatic upgrade. if you want to finagle a trade for Mason Miller, good luck, Jed, in doing that. The A's would be, I think, loath to give up somebody like that. It would be a blockbuster. Might be worth it. I think that you look at, you have to, again, everybody's got a role to play. And until they tell us they're not going to be in the market for a big bat or a big ticket free agent, then you got to keep asking the question about, are they in the Juan Soto conversation? Probably not. What's Pete Alonso going to do next year? Is he going to be a guy that is out there? Well, you know what? If he is on the market, yes, bring him to Wrigley Field so he can hit 45 home runs. You need a big bat. They lacked a big bat. Jed talked yesterday in Philly to the beat writers and about the 90-win roster that Craig Counsell says the Cubs should be having every season, and he's right. Both guys know that. You help get your team better and closer to that by going out and getting Pete Alonso, somebody who can hit a lot of home runs, somebody that is a power bat, maybe Vlad Guerrero. That'd be likely a trade, but that would be my first priority, and then probably closer. I don't know where this talk about needing a free agent pitcher, it's going to be a long-term contract for a starter, and I don't know if that makes any sense, and I know Corbin Burns will be a name you hear a lot of. I don't know that he's going to be coming to Chicago.
You know how that's a great question.
Oh, that's the voice of the head coach of the Illini, Brett Bielema. He will be here at 7:25. Illinois beat Nebraska Friday night. Moved up in the AP poll to number 19. Notre Dame survived Miami of Ohio. Kept their spot, but was far from impressive. NIU lost to Buffalo in their first game back since upsetting Notre Dame. What was the most significant game from this weekend's college football slate?
Well, I think you could have almost predicted that NIU was going to have some sort of letdown. It's a shame that they did in that conference, though, was pretty even. So, Maction strikes again. They lose to Buffalo. Notre Dame struggled. I think 28-3 doesn't say they struggled, but anybody watched that game in the first half, you started to wonder, oh boy, here we go again. Miami of Ohio was competitive, and then they weren't. So, I didn't feel like that was anything worth more than maybe a shrug. What Illinois did at Nebraska against Dylan Raiola and Matt Rhule and the resurgent Cornhuskers on Friday night was, well, one of those moments in a season you wonder if it's a turnaround moment for the program. We came into the season with Brett Bielema. We're talking to him at 7:25, but we talked to him about needing to have this kind of a start. And you know what the Illini did? They went out and they had this kind of a start. That's significant. When the Illini are ranked in the top 25 and now the top 20, you give him credit. They're doing it with the quarterback and Altmaier. He's getting things done. The defense has been better than advertised. And that is something in the Big Ten. You look at the surprise teams, Illinois along with Indiana, right near the top of that list.
Well, for me, it was Illinois by a landslide. That was a very entertaining game Friday night. Not a fan of the Friday night football, but I did pay close attention to that game. And again, Brett Bielema on with you guys at 7:25.
Yeah, watch that game. That was a huge game. I'm going to go a little bit of a twisted route here. I'm going to say North Carolina losing to James Madison so badly. North Carolina favored by 12 in the hook in that game. They lost 70-50. They gave up 50 points in the first half of that game. And Mac Brown, after the game, talked about retiring. He actually told the team that if they want him to retire, he would leave. And he has in the interim apologized and said he regrets saying it. But what do we say about guys? Mac Brown's 73 years old.
Yeah.
What do we say about people who
once
threaten to retire?
You have retired in your mind, you have retired in your mind for good.
I mean, that loss knocked him out of college football, as far as I can tell. And whether he sticks around for the rest of the year, goes in the offseason, whether he decides to put it up with another year of it, that's the end game now for Mac Brown. Not that it wasn't before, but man, is that a bad loss when your coach is ready to hang up the whistle at halftime.
And you give James Madison $500,000 for showing up.
That's right. Yeah, we know what those games are like. So, classic college football game to just... I saw that result, and I was like, I thought I'd misread it.
It was a blowout.
Unbelievable.
One that nobody expected. You would think when you schedule James Madison, you might see a 70-point showing, but maybe by the team that
that's right,
you know, it is the home team, right, the Power Five team.
All right, we got one more. We got the extra point. We're going to talk about it. It's a good one. It's related to the most important position on the field and all the guys whose names we've been mentioning earlier. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
After Jaden Daniels' breakout game last night for the Commanders on Monday Night Football, Daniels has as many TD passes as incompletions. Does that put more pressure on Caleb Williams, who was picked one spot ahead of Daniels? Is this a rivalry?
I hope it becomes a rivalry. It would be a lot of fun, in my view. You see two young quarterbacks, if they come into their own as rookies, that would be tremendous to compare and contrast. And yeah, you can always wonder if the Bears got the right guy. And I hope that it's a good debate moving forward. I hope Jaden Daniels has a terrific career. And if any last night is any indication, he sure is going to, because 21-23, and then he had two incompletions and two touchdown passes. He threw for 254 yards, 141.7 passer rating. Phenomenal breakout game for Jaden Daniels in front of a nationally televised audience. So I think that the Commanders got their guy. Caleb Williams, does that put more pressure on him? I don't know if it's possible to put more pressure on Caleb Williams than what he already is facing coming into the season, deemed as the savior for this franchise. And they're asking him to do a lot already. They're asking him to diagnose the pass protection or the pass rush and set up the protection and then be accurate and do all the things that experienced veteran quarterbacks typically do. He's a rookie, and they're asking him a lot because I think they feel like he can handle a lot, and I still think he can. I don't think this is going to be a situation where, like Patrick Mahomes, you look at him as the one that got away in the 2017 draft. I don't think that we're going to look at Jaden Daniels as the one that got away. I think Caleb Williams is going to have a career that's comparable to Jaden Daniels. Both guys are going to grow into Pro Bowl caliber quarterbacks. The ones that got away to me last night, as much of we're going to talk about Jaden Daniels, you wonder about Dan Quinn not being the guy that got the job when Matt Eberflus got it over him and Quinn was a finalist, and certainly Cliff Kingsbury, the guy with the cool house calling all the plays. He interviewed for the job as the play caller for the Bears. Those are the guys that got away too.
Is Trace Armstrong the agent for either of those two guys? We could talk about that later if you want. October the 27th, speaking of this rivalry or maybe rivalry, the Bears are at the Commanders. October 27th, so the hype around that will be huge. I wonder if last year's number one overall pick and his build and where he played football in comparison to where Jaden Daniels played football, meaning in the SEC, they're both kind of slight guys. I wonder if his ineffectiveness had anything to do with downgrading Jaden Daniels. Maybe, maybe not, but something that I'm thinking.
Yeah. I don't know where that would come from. He's a lot taller than...
But they're very skinny. They both played on teams that have a ton of guys in the NFL.
The height issue was the one that was of concern with Bryce Young and still remains so. At any rate, I think that... they have not punted in two games.
Wow.
Okay. So, you know, when your quarterback calls your punter to tell him, hey, we're not going to need you, it would have been true in Washington if they had drafted a punter. They haven't punted, and they've scored on every possession. I mean, look, the guy completed 91.3% of his passes or something. It's just absurd. It's a crazy near-perfect game, and I don't know how you don't look at it and just say, wow, did you even look at him? Did you even talk to him? Did you, for a second, you didn't even have him come in, you didn't spend 2 minutes with him. Couldn't you have just looked? Couldn't you have, did you break down the tape and then conclude there's something wrong here and we don't want that? I don't know. I think everything's on the table. I think the coach question's on the table. I think the assistant coach question's on the table. I think the fact that you didn't talk to the guy is on the table. You better make sure that your guy works out. Caleb Williams better work out, because it sure seems like this kid's working out. And it doesn't seem like they got the wrong offensive coordinator or there's any issues going on behind the scenes. Seems pretty comfortable in what he's doing, and they're calling the right plays. And I mean, I'm not willing to dismiss Caleb Williams, but
no,
I mean, mother of God, this is pretty special what this kid's
doing.
He's
special. He looks special. Can you imagine the reaction in
Generational
Chicago?
Talent?
Yeah, I think that's a term that triggers a lot of people, but what that means is that he's the best player at that position in a generation of Washington quarterbacks. And then if you want to call him that in D.C., go ahead, because I think it seems to have – well, it's going to apply at some point in time. Can you imagine the reaction in Chicago if the Bears would have selected Jaden Daniels ahead of Caleb Williams, what that offseason would have been like?
It might have been great. I mean, I think they had the ability to do that. I don't think anybody was going to light torches and march on. And you know, let me ask some. Let's say that they had done that. Let's say they took Jaden Daniels. Would they have to get rid of Justin Fields? Could they have had two quarterbacks?
No.
Didn't part of what they did get rid of Fields because they wanted to?
I think they got rid of Fields because they were ready to move on at the position.
Yeah.
I don't think that keeping Fields was untenable for, regardless of who you drafted.
I think they should have gotten more for him.
Well, that's a different conversation.
Well, my only conversation.
You could have maybe gotten more for him if you would, but I don't think keeping him.
They kept him and then gave him away. I mean, that's what I didn't understand.
Yeah, I don't think
and maybe
that,
they end up getting a fourth round.
I don't think that drafting a rookie quarterback and keeping Justin Fields made a lot of sense.
Yeah, I don't know
if you were ready to turn the keys over, give the keys to the rookie quarterback.
I mean, I just think that you could have done that if you so chose. I don't think it would have been the worst idea in the world. I mean, and I said that at the time. I felt like unless you were getting value for the guy had some value, and he could help you in different ways, even if it wasn't at quarterback. And it turns out he's doing okay at quarterback. But, you know, they don't play that style anyway, right? It's just interesting.
They don't play that style.
No, yeah. But it's interesting to see what is going on around where they're at. And I don't think you can put any more pressure on Caleb Williams. The pressure is already there. He knows it. He puts pressure on himself. And we'll just monitor everything moving forward. It's a heck of a story. I know that. 312-644-6767. That's the telephone number. We'll get to your calls. Mully and Hall on the Score.
You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave.
I mean, I think you want to focus on the day-to-day operation of, you know, your preparation and be where your feet are. And I think that's, you know, expectations are always going to be out there, and they are an outside-in type of force, and he's got to really do a good job. We have to do a really good job of working from the inside out and preparing for the Rams and learning from our experience from yesterday. So that's where I think he is, and that's where I think we need to be.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is Matt Eberflus. He's the Bears coach. He's talking about the pressure on Caleb Williams based on expectations. And that was yesterday before the pressure got jacked up
before it got jacked up a notch.
By the greatest single performance.
You know what? One is related to the other. The pressure on Caleb Williams would be reduced if you could protect him and give him the time to throw that maybe guys like Jaden Daniels typically get. That offensive line for the Washington Commanders did a nice job. Would you agree with that?
No, it was all Jaden Daniels.
Well, no,
doesn't need a line.
He is definitely gifted, special talent, and he's going to have a great career, it looks like, and he had a terrific breakout game. But he was sacked only twice. He was not under a lot of pressure. He is very elusive. How about the nice nod and shout-out that Nick Allegretti got from Troy Aikman and Joe Buck talking about the Chiefs?
Yes.
Offensive lineman, friend of the program.
Yes.
Pride of the Illini, went to the Washington Commanders, starting on an offensive line that is very good. And you want to talk about second-guessing guys who ended up elsewhere? Why didn't the Bears go after him?
Well, that's a really good question. He's only from here.
He's a local
guy. He's only a Super Bowl champion.
He was interested in the Bears. And the guy that they chose basically over him, Ryan Bates, has yet to really contribute in a meaningful way, and the offensive line is in shambles for the Bears. So a lot of things to look at and second guess when you watch that game last night. But as we said during the break, Molly, and it bears repeating and bringing to the air. You said it, I agreed. I said it, you agreed. If the Bears were right about Caleb Williams, and he is a quarterback that succeeds, it really doesn't matter what happens with any other quarterback drafted in his same class. And Jaden Daniels can ascend and become a star too. The rest of it is noise that we have to acknowledge right now because it is interesting. But if Caleb Williams is good, it's kind of noise that's easy to ignore.
This is a fun one. Would Daniels be doing this well with the Bears, with this team, and would Caleb be excelling in Washington?
What do you think?
Yes and yes.
I think... I just think that you blew my mind there. Yes and yes. So Caleb Williams would be doing this in Washington.
Yes, he'd be doing well.
For his hometown team.
For his old coach.
Yeah, I think he would, actually. I think he would be succeeding. Would Jaden Daniels be running for his life in Chicago?
He'd be able to, and he'd do it.
And he would be prone to an injury that you would hope wouldn't happen.
You'd have wasted a fourth-round pick on a punter.
I don't want to go there either.
I'm just having fun.
I know. It's September 24th, and you are already out on Tory Taylor.
No, that's my guy. I wanted that pick. Don's on the west side. Hey, Don.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I was watching the game, man. I just think that, you know, that Jaden Daniels' performance, man, is more so on the play calling and the scheme and fits. Like, not to say he's not a good quarterback or whatnot, but I just think that, yeah, if he was with the Bears just to, he'll definitely be running for his life. It'll definitely be Fields 2.0. And speaking of Fields, we want to go down that rabbit hole. You know, I was saying, and I'm not saying it's the right decision that would have been made, but I was saying, when it was draft time, like, okay, well, we could have got a Marvin Harrison who's, a dog. And we could have fixed the offensive line with more picks. You know, that number one overall pick would have been worth a whole hell of a lot. So I just think that it doesn't do us, even revisiting that, because then it brings a glaring hole back to Ryan Poles. Like, okay, well, what's up with your decision making? Why didn't you bring in Cliff Kingsbury, who's familiar with your rookie quarterback and can help him through these tough struggles and get a game plan that he's comfortable with? Why did you hire Matt Eberflus? Why didn't you fire Matt Eberflus? Why is Bailey? You know, the questions just go on and on. So I'd rather not even do that rabbit hole thing.
Yeah.
I'd just rather just say, okay, Caleb Williams, okay, from week one to week three, he looks a little more comfortable. He's not, rushing things or he's being sped up, but he himself is not rushing things. So
he's developing.
I guess, the season now becomes about, exactly, the season now becomes about Caleb Williams and less about the Bears making the playoffs until they show us something.
It's a great call, as always, Don. It really is. And I mean, honestly, let's just go for a second. Funny mirror. Let's say they trade the first overall pick and don't take the quarterback.
Right.
And now they got a pick coming next year and
they've got a haul.
Yeah. Okay. Didn't they do that already?
Yes.
Are we now going to start talking about they're afraid to take a quarterback? They're afraid of a quarterback.
You're right. That's why I hesitate in even going down that rabbit hole because of ignores to do that.
Yes.
I will say this about Justin Fields in Pittsburgh and Jaden Daniels in Washington, because those are guys that we're going to talk about and obviously naturally compare to what's going on with Caleb Williams in Chicago. It bears repeating. The coaching matters in the NFL in a big way. And I don't, I'm not out on what's going on with Shane Waldron yet. I think it's too early and premature to jump ship. But I do think that they are off to a shaky start.
Yes, they are.
What you have seen in Pittsburgh is the power of Arthur Smith and Mike Tomlin and the effect on Justin Fields. Structure, stability, predictability, consistency. What you've seen in Washington is the creativity and the ability of Cliff Kingsbury, empowered by Dan Quinn, the head coach, to get the most out of Jaden Daniels in that offense. Coaching matters in the NFL, and you're seeing that when you're comparing these three quarterbacks.
Did you see Terry McLaughlin came out yesterday and said that he went to Kingsbury and said, hey, throw me that ball in the end zone. I'm open. Call that play. And the guy calls the play. Quarterback throws a pill. Touchdown. I mean, come on, man. That's things working. That's people working together. That's an open, good feeling going on. That's not tighten sphincters and let's all just sit here and
studying body language and measuring frustration. DJ Moore has that capability to be that guy in Chicago for Caleb Williams. I think he can be. I think he kind of is. But what you're saying is, you know,
I'm saying, why isn't DJ going to Waldron?
I think that's what you're saying. I think that's what you're saying. We'll ask him next Monday morning. Hey, DJ, Mully says you should talk more.
Oh, you're beautiful. All right, we got Biggs time next. We'll bring in Biggsy. Get his take on all that's going on. Mully and Haw on the Score.
This is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. We're live from Chicago, talking Chicago sports. Listen on your radio or through the Odyssey app. AUDACY. We are 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Hey, it's David Haw for FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 670 The Score. Yeah, well, enough about week three already. NFL week four, it's here. And you can start with a chance for a big win on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. If you're new to FanDuel, you can get started with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. It's a great deal. Build a quick same-game parlay for Thursday night football right around the corner. It's already Tuesday. This is in 2 days. Cowboys, Giants. How about CeeDee Lamb over receiving yards? Dak Prescott, you know he's got to be throwing to CeeDee Lamb, so over on passing yards. Devin Singletary, over or under on rushing yards? We'll wait and see, but you find all kinds of combinations. Maybe you want to work in Daniel Jones or someone else on the Giants for a same-game parlay. Do it all, bet a little, win a lot. Visit FanDuel.com/score to make every moment more this season. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 and older and present in Illinois. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.